Okay, Simon Tov Nun Aleph. I'm going to try to catch up a little bit tonight. Okay. Kli Sheish Boi Tal Tloi. This is now going to a few specific scenarios, really. Very much based on the concepts that we discussed over the last few evenings. It's now a few very real-life applications. Kli Sheish Boi Tloi, which is metal patches. You've got a kli which has got metal patches. So basically, this was a keli, a vessel, which had holes, and it was sorted by having some patches. The patches are attached to the keli. Now, im kodam atloi libliyas ha'isa en tzorich la'asiroi. You want to kasher this keli now, which has got some metal patches on it. Now, if the patches were attached before the issa was absorbed, so say you put these patches on and only after that the keli became osu, and so chasir, you don't have to remove it. Just kasher it the way it is now. Because whichever way it came in, that's the way you can kasher it now. What happens though? What happens if there was an issa that was absorbed in the keli, and only subsequently the patches were attached? What do you do then? We have to be concerned. Perhaps there is some bits and pieces which are between the patches and the keli. What are you going to do? So the eitzah, the only eitzah is tzorich. You must, top of page 80, lehosir atzloi kodem agola. You have to remove the patches before you do the agola. It wasn't a particularly sensible thing to do in the first place, to attach patches onto a keli which is also, but that's what they did. So if you did do that, you've got to do the hagola after removing these metal patches. Alternatively, you can put gecholim, you can put coals on the place where the patches are. Until the is actually burnt out. If there are, you don't know for sure there is, but if there are bits and pieces, it will be burnt out through the gecholim. Afterwards, you can do hagola on the keli. So again, if the patches were there before the issa, so you can just do the hagola and kabbalah kachpoltoi. If it became also, the keli became also, and only afterwards patches were attached, so you've got to remove it and do the hagola afterwards. Alternatively, you can put kecholim coals and they will burn it out. Vimushal eitz en l'takon, if this keli is made out of wood, there's no takana, there's no way you can sort this out. Elohim ken yachiv asedek, unless you make the holes really, really big. Kol kach shiuch alohitzim misham asher besoich, until through the hole, things can actually go out and use it as a hole, kind of. Roshim shoyitzim ha'umnim besoich kelim, if there is a keli which the umnim, some experts have made some roshim, they've engraved within the keli, some sort of, what is it like? That's right. Like the manufacturer's logo or something within the keli. That's very good. Pardon?
Certainly on the bottom there.
Yeah. So what you have to do, so you can't do agola. It doesn't matter the fact that it says, I don't know. Whatever, the fact that it says a make on it doesn't take it away. You can still kasher it. Since it was made initially like that, it's not like a patch. It was done like that. Just make sure that you've cleaned it thoroughly. Rabbi Sai, here is the question that we should ask. Which we could really discuss at this point of here. What's the halacha of kashering microwaves? Why? You're saying you can't? You're saying machloikas. Why can't you? Yeah, but you said you can't catch microwave. What would be the tzadim?
Maybe because when you boil up
Does anybody catch a microwave? No? Okay, yeah.
When you boil it up, I understand what you're meant to do on that side that you're doing it.
How would you boil
up water inside it? And then
absolutely. So there's a very strong argument and some early poskim.
It doesn't necessarily get equally everywhere.
Oh. Very good, very good, very good. Absolutely spot on. Okay. So, Rabbi Yisai, the argument would be, so since the microwave was invented, when was it? Was it 1950s?
No.
I think the tshuva was like, Moshe's got an early tshuva about this. maybe the 1960s. Quite early, yeah. I was very surprised. Tovshin Chof something. Pardon?
It became
popular in the 1980s. Right. They've lost their... No, they're not so... Not as... Still going strong? Yeah. Okay, so either way, how do you kasha a... How do you kasha for Pesach a microwave? Or how do you kasha it if it became teif? So let's say you've got a milchik microwave, and by mistake... You put something meat in there, or vice versa. What? How do you kasher a microwave? So the argument is a very strong argument. The poskim of last generation, they very much felt, very much in line with what you're suggesting, is that since we say keboiloi kach poltoi, that's what our Shulchan Aruch is teaching us here and elsewhere. So if you say keboiloi kach poltoi, what would be the argument? What should you be able to do? Steam it. Absolutely. All you do is you take a pot with water and you microwave it until it reaches the temperature that you had it previously. So if you had something cooked there for five, you microwave something for, let's say, 5 minutes. So put the boil in water and you keep it in there for 5 minutes, and then you will say kabola kachbolta. Whatever would have happened earlier. That's what's going to be kasha now. Kaboilu kachpolto. What's the difference when we have got a klirishna that became also you're going to kasha it in a klirishan? What if you've got a spoon that fell in a klisheni? You can kasha it in a klisheni. So why should that be different? Kaboilu kachpolto. You can't be more stringent than the way it became. Whatever became, whatever goes in, goes out. Just use the same process. That's the rule. Whatever goes in, goes out. Just use the same process. So surely in a microwave, could you see any reason why not? Do you see any reason why you can't do it? It's a very strong argument. However, and the truth is that there are poskim who do say that. And to this very day, there are some poskim, both the Moshe, Dan, Weiss, they all have such a tzad that perhaps you could do Hagolah and kasha the microwave in that way. Lemaisa, I believe that the consensus of the poskim is not to rely on that. It could be that at all. They are very unhappy about this. Most poskim are, nowadays, I think the general approach is to usher it. It has to do with the way the microwave works, which, again, it's a shame that Mr. Vigod is not here to explain to us the scientific, practical side of it, but there is something about, we all know that it's cooked very differently, right? It's heated up in a very different way, and you could have something which is boiling hot on the surface, but inside it could literally still be frozen, or at least it can be very, very cold. So there is something about the lack of, I don't know if consistency is not the right word, lack of, how should we call it? Dispersal of the heat, right? That sounds good. Okay, there's something about that. Now, consequently, what that means is that you don't exactly know where the bleers have spread and where it's all gone, and therefore there is. So it's not so posh as how you can actually, as well as there is an element also that it's not so. At the end of the day. We know what a klirishan is, we know what a klishen is, we know what a klishlisha is, we know what an iru is, we know what bishul is, we know what sliya is, we know what tigun is, we know all this, but with against the microwave, we don't really know. In fact, when it comes to the chashabas, microwave is considered, perhaps, it's not considered bishul at all, it's something called, it's probably told as a chama, and therefore there's an element of
wouldn't that make it more
meikum? No, because... Why would it be more meikel?
Because if it's not a klirishan, if it's told as a chama, isn't that a lower degree of
bishul?
Bishul than...
It's just that it's a different type of bishul. It's a different type of bishul. Since it's a bit different, we're probably lacking a bit of clarity how to undo what has been done. But there's certainly a strong argument to say the kabbalah kechpoltoi, and whatever you did to catch to mess it up, do it again to sort it out.
Steam doesn't always necessarily
spread
equally.
That's definitely, absolutely, that is a very strong argument as well. Based on that argument, that itself would be sufficient reason not to catch it, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, in theory, absolutely. Lipun should work in theory. I just don't think that practically you can use a blowtorch in a microwave. I think it's going to ruin it in a minute. But I think in theory, I think everybody would agree that in theory you could use a whatever melu benes, etc. I think that in theory that would probably work. Yeah, to do a lipun would work. Yeah. Okay, that's with regards to Sifkot Yud Gimel. Sifkot Yud Dalet. Teach us Kisui Shel Bazel. The Kisui Shel Bazel, which is discussed extensively in Yoreh Deah too, is the cover, metal lid. Shemechasim Boya Kaderet, you cover with it the pot. Okay, before proceeding in Shulchan Aruch, how do you think would you kasha a lid? A metal lid. You use it for Chametz, you want to use it for Pesach. How do you kasha it? For sure, God is okay. Why?
Because you don't use the lid for hot water.
You don't use the lid for hot water. Consequently, it should be lean. You could choose. So how would you do it? Just by, how would you actually kasher it? Just put it in the hot water. In the actual creation. Does everybody agree with that? You said that maybe you couldn't even do less. Why less? Oh, the steam. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kisui Shel Bazel, a metal lid. Shemechasibo, it's a very common misconception, this. Very common. Shemechasibo, a kedero, that you cover the pot with a lid. Tzorich Hagola requires Hagola. Although, it may not have ever have touched the lokshen. Maybe never touched the chametz. Maybe it never got anywhere near the Issa or the Chometz. Nevertheless, he needs a Kol. Why? Kevin Shemizia, since it has an extensive steam emerging from the pot, from the heat. Bechol Shah, throughout the cooking, Mechoy Makadeh from the heat of the Kadero, and therefore it requires Hagola. Vim Nostnu, Bepesach HaKadero Boloi Hagola. What happens if, will show us the severity of the issue. What happens if on Pesach, by mistake, you take a chometz stick lid. Imagine that. You're cooking, what are you cooking on Pesach? What could you be cooking on Pesach?
Beef.
Yeah, right. And yeah, absolutely. And you're taking, by mistake, you're taking a chometz stick lid, and you put it on top. A chometz stick lid. Eino ben yoimo was last used over 24 hours ago. All you did, you took a lid, and you placed it on the... You did not touch the food. All it did is you put the lid on the... What would you say would be the halacha of the food? Should be fine. Would argue. In fact, I definitely would have thought so. Even not for the fact. The Shulchan Aruch is teaching us. If I placed the lid without prior hagola. Imagine that. All you did is you put the lid on the below hagola. Also the entire, what did you say, the whole meat? What was it? Becomes also. The whole food becomes also. It did not touch it, but it becomes also. Shizeas akisui, because the steam of the lid, misarev batavshil, mixes with the food. So Rabbi said, all you did is you were making that, you're cooking something on Pesach, and all you did, you took that lid, which you last used before Pesach, you took the lid and you placed it on top. Now we are saying that the whole food becomes also, because the steam goes up, and it will absorb the chametz from the lid, and it will go down again into the food, and that is how the food becomes also. It's not going to be bottled with shishim, it's going to be also. This is very extreme. Rabbi said, we find the same, not on Pesach, when you by mistake take a lid, a fleishig lid, and you put it on a milchig pot, or vice versa, the food will become also. In a way, it's even more stringent than the sides. Unlikely, because you go with the whole lid. Yeah, it's unlikely. It is possible, but on the whole, it's going to be also. Right. There's one question which the Mishnah Berurah discusses here. It's machloek is near there. What happens if you take the lid and you literally just tuck and you take it off? You suddenly realize, oh wait. So let's say you're having a fly shake. What are you cooking? Something fly shake? Okay, you're making a flashig soup. Very good. And by mistake, it's cooked and you want to cover it. You're taking a milchig lid, milky lid, and you're putting it on top. Now,
But what happens is that you realize, Ben Yom, Ben Yom, makes no difference. What happens is that you realize, within a second, you realize, oh no, Fleishig Melchik, and you take it off. Will that make a difference? The fact that it did not remain there for a long time. Would you say it makes a difference or not? Very good. So there is a very big chiddush that if it remains cold, when your mamash only kept there for a minute, then it's fine. If you acted quickly enough, then it's not. We're not going to see the bees get absorbed. Mishnah Berurah says that in Sifkot and Pei Gimel. If you realize straight away, and you removed it from the pot, and then you saw everything is dry, he didn't get actually moist. You can eat the food. And even the pot is going to be mutter as well. Okay, Siv Tezvav, Kisu Shel Bazel. Now I don't exactly know what that is. It's a metal lid that you put on the baked item. Have you ever seen that? A lid which you put on a baked food. A lid which is directly put on the food. On a baking. Have you ever seen that? What is it? Baked, not cooked. It has to be something baked. Yeah? Okay, I've never experienced it. Okay, so imagine that. And the point is that it's not bishul. It's not, doesn't go through. It's not wet, it's dry. You put a baking lid on the baked food. What's the halacha? And you want to kasher this lid now. What kashering process does it require? It's worse.
Hot baking food. There's no liquid,
so it's like clear. So Shulchan Aruch is going to pass now. Shenefes al kira, tzorich libun, it requires libun.
Does that make a difference if things you're baking are neither rak
nor neither rak? Pardon? No, not as far as it's concerned, no. It won't make a difference. I don't think it makes a difference. Good question, I don't think it makes a difference. Okay, and Siv Tezayin talks about the pepper mill. What are those called? Those pepper, the small ones? Are they called pepper mill?
Yeah.
They're called a mill? The small ones? Yeah, I call it grinder. I call it mill. Is that called a mill?
No.
How do you call them?
Grinder.
Yeah. Grinder. Okay. So, medoicha muteres ba'agola. If you've got a pepper grinder, you can do agola and it will be fine. Now, obviously it's fine because it's all... Pardon? Oh, very good. Let's just clarify the question before the answer, but you're right. The argument would be that obviously it's all cold. If it's all cold, there should be no problem at all. So obviously you don't need agola. Obviously agola is sufficient, but Binyamin Yaakov Halevi points out very correctly that it is comparable to the salt, where we find that something is very, very, very loft, is very strong. I don't like to call it acid. It's not acid. It's a very strong. It's not acidy. What is it? Very strong taste. How would you call it? Chaim? There must be a word for it. Pepper is very. Yeah, it's basically. It's not mama sharp, but yeah, maybe perhaps sharp, yeah. It's medoicha muteres ba'agola, so we'd have thought perhaps you can't do hagola. Shochanoch paskins, yes, hagola is good, although it's something which is strong, has got a stronger taste, nevertheless, hagola is fine. What if it's very big? This mill is fairly big. You cannot enter it into a klerishna pot. If it's a big kind of grinder, you can put the ever melubenes, a stone, a red hot stone in it, and the heat will emerge from all the sides. You can do that too. Cholcha governor have a golah klirish, and that would be considered klirish. So that's what Shulchan Aruch's opinion is. The Rama disagrees. Rama says no. You can't just do a hagola on a grinder. You've got to do libun mamish. Ach belibun koldu, but it's sufficient to do a smaller scale libun. Which is the libun kal, which means that all you need to do is that there's a reach a heat that a paper will burn or a straw will burn. But the meaning is to do libun proper when it comes to a grinder. To do a libun proper when it comes to a grinder. But the gola is If there's no holes whatsoever, God is good enough. If it's made out of wood, you have to sand it down a little bit. We're concerned about holes. We'll get into our goal afterwards. So, to summarize, if design, Rabbi Yisai, a pepper grinder, shulchan aruch holes, you can do hagola and it's good enough. There are more holes that it's not good enough to do hagola, you need to do libun because it's got strong taste. Pepper. See, therefore you need to libun. But the lower level of libun is good enough. Some are machmir to make a stronger libun. If there is holes there, you've got to make sure to sand down and make it even if it's made out of wood. And we also learned that if you want to put it if it's too big to put in a kirishin, you can put the Evel Mulubenes there, and that will do the trick as well. Okay, to summarize the earlier Seifim, Rabbi Yisai, we learned that in Seifut Gimel, we learned that a kli which has got patches, you have to remove the patches before you do the Hagola. That's if the patches were attached after it became also. If the patches were there after it became also, then you just do Hagola. Now, Kabolo Kach Poltoi. We spoke about the lid, the metal lid, that you have to kasha a metal lid to zeir, although you may not have touched the chametz, but the steam may have taken down the bleis back into the tafshel. Therefore, a lid requires hagola. And then we spoke about the lid which actually touches the baked item that requires libun. Right, these are the lochs we learned this evening. Good, and we're going to be continuing Mitzvah from Sif Yud Zayin tomorrow. Okay, good evening.